Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So here's a question for you today, in line with the other question that I asked you earlier. What do you believe in God for? The second question is, do you believe God is for you? Amen. So I want us to think about that, and then I'll even ask you to respond to the question. It's important that you know the answer. Do you believe that God is for you? If you believe that, can you say amen?
Amen.
And so I ask it a third time. And I'm asking this time if you can couple it with maybe a situation or circumstance that you're going through. So think about something that you may be going through in your life, challenging situation, challenging circumstance. Now think about that question again. Do you believe that God is for you? Let it digest for a moment. And now, if you believe that, if you can say amen.
Amen.
You know, amen means so be it. Amen means I agree with whatever God is saying. And I believe that today, and even in the midst of our praise team singing that song, that last part, he is for you. 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 Now you might be saying, well, what does that mean? If somebody is for me, that means they're not against me. So regardless of whatever, and everybody in here might be experiencing some type of situation, circumstance that may not be as favorable. You don't like it. It don't feel good. You don't want it. And if you had an option between curtain A, B, and C, right, you would choose maybe another one. But please digest this in your heart, that God is for you. He is not against you. Amen?
Amen?
And so I love that song because it keeps repeating things. And the amen part, like you don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever sang that song and you're just like, why are we still saying amen? Right? And it's this long, drawn-out amen. And the reason I believe for that, and God spoke to that group to be able to sing it, is because sometimes we don't agree with what God is saying. Or we don't agree with what God's word says, but amen is so be it. So that means it's like putting a stake in the ground and saying, I know all this other stuff is going on, but God is saying, I'm for you. So I put a stake in the ground right here, and I say, amen, or amen, however you want to say it. So we have to have a amen. Amen? I say amen a lot of my messages because it's really me checking to see, are you with me? Are you with whatever you are hearing within your heart God saying to you? And there has to be an amen. It has to be in the military, in the army, we would say, who? And who meant everything. You know, so it's like, all right, you tracking? Who? Who? Ronnie, I don't know if you knew this, but who actually meant amen as well in the army. But amen is that, like, it's so be it. So what is God saying to you today? And maybe today some of our spiritual ears are clogged up. And so we have to hear more prophetically of what God is saying so that we can get them unclogged. So if you're here today and it's a little challenging for you to be able to sense and hear God, please hear what God is saying today. And one of the first things that God is saying before we even get in the message is that he is for you. And if God is for you, can somebody finish that? If God is for me, who can be against me? Amen. So I'm going to try to take my time. Tremaine and I and Jocelyn, we just came back from a conference where we were able to get poured into. And then last week, if you were here last week, was just like so emotional that I collapsed to my knees really under the weight of what was, what is, and what is to come for Purpose Church and our life. And so I'm excited today. So I might use my hands a little bit more. They're like, how much more can you use your hands? I just want to say this one more time. God is for you. Amen? God is for you. So we've been looking at the ministry of Jesus, and here's the question that I posed earlier today. What are you believing for? What are you believing for? What are you believing God for? And if the answer to that question is nothing, I'm good. Can I give you a menu of things that you can touch and agree with me to believe God for? He said, you know, Pastor Will, everything in my life is good. Praise God for that. But there might be someone on this earth that needs your belief. Y'all remember we shared the message about the man being let down from the roof of the house? He needed some help. And so if you're in a place where you're saying, you know what, I'm good. You ever hear this phrase, if the Lord never do anything else for me? Well, ask for him to do some things for me if you're good. There are so many different needs in the earth. Becky and I, we were talking about earlier about how there's just so many different needs in the earth. There's so many needs. And so I believe that we should always be believing God for something. And if we're not, and if you're here today, I pray that I will, by the Holy Spirit, prompt you to move to that place of inquiring of the Lord, what is it that I should be believing you for? What is it that I need to open my eyes and my heart up to expect you, God, to do something that requires me to believe you for it? If I'm not expecting God to do anything, then there's no need for me to release my faith. And that's what we're asking the children about. So children, literally, they share with us that faith is believing God, is dependent upon God, is trusting God. So if that is faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight, so if we're not believing God for anything, are we walking or are we just standing still? Or are we just resting? And so if we are expecting anything of God, we have to believe. So today, let's release our faith and expect God for something. Amen? What are you believing for? So let's dive into the scripture. We're at Luke 7, and we'll walk through this here. It says, after Jesus had finished all that he had to say in the hearing of the people on the mountain, he entered Capernaum. Boy, I tell you what, that's just a message right there. After Jesus had finished all that he had to say in the hearing of the people on the mountain. So, two different things there. First, we got to be hearing. And as we are hearing, Jesus is speaking. So the first thing really is, are we posturing ourselves to be able to hear what God is saying? Let us, include us in this, that let us that have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. So Jesus, if we just put it this way, God by his Spirit has a whole lot to say. Are we posturing ourselves to hear what he is saying? Amen? And then Jesus does not transition to the next assignment until he is finished saying everything that he has to say. Can I ask a question? How many of us cut Jesus off? How many of us, let me put it this way, how many of us cut God off? Put it this way. How many of us cut off the Holy Spirit because we are finished hearing what we thought we needed to hear? But God is still speaking, but we just say, you ever use this phrase? I done heard enough. And some of us don't want to hear another thing that God has to say because the last thing I heard and I obeyed, it walked me right into the midst of some craziness. But even in the craziness, keep having an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Amen? Posture ourselves to hear what God is saying. Posture ourselves. Think about that. Whatever it is that we are doing on a daily basis, posture yourself so that you can hear what it is that God wants to say to you. Reading the Bible, praying, fellowshipping, listening to worship, praise that will glorify and open up our hearts to hear what it is. God always has something to say. Are we hearing? And he doesn't stop speaking until it's time for the next assignment. So can I say this? If you are in a place and it's like, I'm not hearing anything else, maybe it's time to move. Maybe God has shifted and is trying to shift you, but you just staying here and he said, I'm ready to move on to Capernaum now. But we're still sitting on the mountain waiting for God to speak to us. Where is God in your life? Where is he moving in your life? Where is he speaking in your life? Seek the voice of the Lord. So important. If I get up here and I talk to you about someone else's voice more than I talk to you about the voice of the Word of God, that is a problem. So I caution us, don't quote other people more than you quote the word. My granddad used to say when I was in his church years ago that he may not come when you want him, but he is always on time. So I'm believing that God is going to be on time this time. And you say, well, tell me where that is in the Bible. Tell me if that's a scripture. And when we look at it, we realize it's not a scripture. It's something that somebody said a long time ago, but I'm using that to develop my faith. Quotes will not increase God kind of faith. Quotes will increase my faith, but it's not going to increase God's faith. God's faith only comes from God through his word or by his spirit. Are y'all hearing me? Because I'm finding in the body of Christ, we're starting to quote people too much. You know what they say? One question. Who is they? And whatever they said, does it line up with the Word of God? Now, what I'm talking about, I'm not just talking about, you know, water cooler conversation. I'm talking about when we're trying to iron sharpen iron. We're trying to share faith with one another, but we're not talking the word. We're just quoting people. And then I get out there and I realize that I don't have enough substance. I don't have enough faith substance to make it through the situation because the substance that I have is not the God kind of faith. It's just fairy tales. It's stories. And tells, and it's not the word. So this is why I encourage us. We got to read the word. We got to hear the word. We have to. He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. Show me that in the Bible. Now, there's scriptures that deal with it. But we paraphrase the word a lot. What does the Bible say? And we have no excuse because if you got a phone, you have access to scripture. If you got a phone, you got access to whatever search engine you use. And you can type in, what's that scripture about faith? Is something dealing with the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? Where is that scripture at? And you can pull it up. And then as you look at that scripture and you speak that scripture and you get it in your heart, then the God kind of faith develops within you. Amen. But if I'm just saying, like, just, you know, if I just say, you know what, Denise, today's going to be a good day. And they say, well, praise the Lord. And if that's the only word that Denise receives today, that's very encouraging, isn't it? But if I say, you know what, Denise, today is going to be a good day. You know why? Because they sang it earlier. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So therefore, today is going to be a good day, because guess who made the day? The Lord. So be careful with quoting other people and taking that as substance for life, but we're not quoting the word of God. Amen? I don't know how I got out there. So look, Jesus, verse 2 says, now a centurion had a bondservant who was held in honor and highly valued by him. So the centurion highly valued his bondservant. So the bondservant was sick and at the point of death. Verse 3. And when the centurion heard of Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, to Jesus, requesting Jesus to come and make his bondservant well. I love this. When the centurion heard of Jesus, what did he hear? If his bondservant is sick, then what he must have heard is that Jesus can heal. See? And so earlier I was talking about, you know, like, what are you believing God for? What are you expecting from God? And how do we mix that with the word? Don't, please hear this, because I feel like some people are doing this. Don't separate your situation from the word of God. So I feel like it's kind of like, you know, Lord, I pray that my children will give their life to you. Lord, I pray and I'm believing you, but it's kind of like, but that situation over there, I think is a little bit too great for me to believe you for, so I don't mix it with the word of God. And I keep it separate. But in this situation, the centurion heard of Jesus. And he says, oh my gosh, then you know what? I got somebody that I really care about that I believe Jesus can help. Is there anything in your life that you believe that God can help? And I heard somebody say, everything. And we have to get to that point where we believe, God, I believe that there is no situation in my life that you cannot touch. Oh, it is not, I say this often, it's not God that's intimidated by our situation. For some reason, why, can I ask y'all, don't answer back, but just think about this. Can I ask y'all, why do we think that God cannot handle some of our stuff? Everything. Bring it all to God. So the centurion, he heard of Jesus. And this is so powerful because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it's really when that scripture is really talking about, it's talking about faith comes by hearing and hearing of the gospel that is preached. So somebody was preaching Jesus. Somebody was saying something about Jesus, and the centurion heard it, and faith was birthed within him. Amen. But he didn't stop there, because faith, come on, finish this with me, without works is what? Dead. So how many times that we, all of us right now, we're all hearing the word of God. We're seeing it, and we're hearing it. We're seeing it and we're hearing it. And however you're receiving it, the Holy Spirit is mixing it in your situation. So some people, after I preach, they'd be like, I like that part when you said this. And I'm like, praise Jesus. And I'm like, I don't remember saying that. But I remember, maybe it's I said it, but I just don't remember. Or is it I said it, but when it reached your ears, because you are in a situation and a circumstance that's unlike anybody else in this place. So when you receive the word, the Holy Spirit receives it with you and mixes it in your situation. And as long as you are open to it, faith is birthed. Amen? So look at this. The centurion hears about Jesus. And it says, and he sent some Jewish elders to Jesus. Faith without works is dead. So if we leave here, hearing the word, and we don't act on it, it's dead. So who's the problem? Is it us or is it God? So God says, I brought you here so that you could hear. And we're like, I hear you, Lord. And now God says, what are you going to do? What is going to be your next step? Now, you may say, Pastor Will, my faith is not as strong to believe God. My prayer life is not as strong as somebody else's. My understanding of the Word of God is not as strong as someone else's. And I got an answer for that. Look at what the centurion did. Now, in Matthew Gospel, the same story is told, and Matthew goes to Jesus. But I like how Luke does it. Luke doesn't show that the centurion went to Jesus. Luke shows that the centurion is like, you know what? I'm going to find some of the Jewish elders. I'm going to find some of the elders in the community to go on my behalf. So if you're here today and you're saying, well, I'm not quite there yet to believe God at that level, then you need to hook up with someone else that knows God on a personal level. But whatever you do, you need to get to God. There is no excuse. There's none. And if this centurion man knew how to get Jesus to come to his bondservant, we as believers of Jesus Christ, what are we doing? And so if I need to find some mature people that we consider mature, whatever that's considered, whatever you consider mature, oh, man, Damaris, boy, woo, Damaris, I got to hook up with Damaris because she can pray. Well, if you need to, then do that. I want to say this. And I know some of us are shy, well, introverts, extroverts, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes, just in church, some of us are. We get outside and we loud and we all that stuff. But sometimes in church, we become these little quiet mouse or whatever. And I get it. I understand it. I get it. But every once in a while, we have altar call for prayer. But then even if we don't have that on purpose, many of us linger in the sanctuary or in the hallways just in case somebody needs to talk. And so if you know that you may be close to the mindset of this centurion, instead of centurion saying, take me to where Jesus is, and you kind of like, well, I need to find other people that can pray to God on my behalf. I need to find other people that understand these scriptures more than I do. I need to find other people to help me be accountable. Then find those people. Don't leave here knowing you need to connect with someone, but you don't. There is no excuse. There's none. if the centurion could connect with the Jewish elders, y'all understand that the centurion was a Roman citizen. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? He is not of the people of Israel, but he knew that these Jewish leaders knew Jesus, and they knew how to get a message to him. He said, well, Pastor, I don't know how to get a message to God. I feel like God don't hear my prayers. Number one, that's wrong. So if I can just kind of correct that, God does hear your prayers. Amen. That's a sign that God hears your prayers. Amen. God's like, let me just send it along. It's like, heaven, you hear me? Yes. So number one, God does hear your prayers. But the scripture does let us know where two or three are gathered in his name. Right? There he is in the midst. So if you need someone to link up to, it's okay. I'm just kind of lingering here for a moment. It's all right. It's all right. Jesus, even when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Did he go by himself? He didn't. He took three people with him. Peter, James, and John. Even he went to the most overwhelming place with people. Amen? So who are your people? Who can you reach out to? People start naming things. I should do that. Name the person. Don't do that. Person might be sitting next to you like, Don't be pulling me in your kingdom business, you know. Don't do it alone. So what this centurion heard from Jesus moved him to action. I shared this scripture. So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds, actions of obedience to back it up, by itself, faith by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, dead. So we can have, and this is why, and if you had any of the children that were up here and they were talking, it is one thing to be able to say, yep, faith is this, faith is this, faith, you got faith, yeah, I got faith, you got faith, yeah, I got faith, side of mustard seed, I got faith and all that, but we got to put our faith to work. And I believe that's what God is calling us to today. So what are you believing God for? What do you have faith for? Listen, what do you have faith for? Whatever you have faith for, you've got to do something. You have to do something. If you are believing God for something, you need to have some type of corresponding action to it. Because if not, it says faith by itself without any type of responding, obedient respond is destitute of power or it's inoperative and dead. This is personal. What is God leading you to do right now? This is personal. What is God leading you to do right now in response to the faith that he is birthing or growing within you? What is God leading you to do right now? For some of you guys, it is something big. For some, it's just you need to read more. For some, it is you need to let go of that. For some, it is you need to pray more. For some, it is you need to step into that. For some, it is you need to listen to praise or worship or whatever music that's going to connect you with God. And for some, it's you need to delete that playlist. But all of us, listen, Lord, this is Peter walking on the water. Lord, I see you. I'm going to paraphrase this. Peter walking on. Lord, I see you. But I'm not quite sure that it's you. So if it is you, Lord, bid or command me to come. That was faith. Even for him to ask that. And somebody here might be saying, God, if it is in your will for me to do this, show me a sign. That's faith. But, so faith, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. The Lord says what? Can I say it in my own little phrase? Come on then. What you waiting for? Jesus says, come. We count the faith
as when Peter first took a step on the water. Peter was walking by faith when he even recognized that Jesus, is that you? And if it is you, can you command me to come towards you? That's faith. Because no one else in the boat asked that question. Only Peter. Just because you have questions and you're kind of like Gideon, Lord, if it's you, cause the fleece to be wet. Lord, if it's you, that don't mean you don't have faith. What it means is you're at a certain place and God is prompting you to take another step. But just because you've got questions don't mean that you are void of faith. So Peter walks on the water, right? We know that the winds and all that kind of stuff is gone. He begins to sink. Jesus comes. He raises him up from the water. And then Jesus says this, why you of little faith? And that phrase, little faith, means short-lived faith. And so that doesn't mean that Peter's faith just disappeared. And sometimes we think this. Have you ever been through something so challenging that it almost felt like that when it hit you, all your faith went out? Can I say this to you? It did not. And the reason is because you've got God on the inside of you. You could not even receive Jesus as Lord and Savior unless God gave you the faith to be able to receive him. So when you feel like, and this is where we should be 100% of the time, when you feel like you don't have no more faith, lean on God's faith. And at times we're thinking, I don't have no faith for this. Yes, you got some faith. You just need to trust God. But whatever you do, don't doubt. Don't back up. Don't back up. Don't shrink back. Your faith may be short-lived. Like, I got faith. Oh, man, dang, I thought I had faith. But you still got it. You still got it. The fact that you're even asking God a question shows that you have faith. Well, if I had faith, I wouldn't be questioning God. Even God will question us. Can these dry bones live? Lord, you know. Are y'all hearing that? So if you feel as if you're destitute of faith, that's not the thing that you may be destitute of. It may be your response. But you have faith. You trust God. You trust God. You believe God. Don't let whatever it is you're going through think that you have exhausted your faith. How are you going to exhaust your faith in God? That means that you've exhausted God. Everything that God does is by faith. He created the heavens and the earth by faith. Everything he does is by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But we must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently. So, again, what do you believe in God for? That, you didn't even come up with that belief. God gave it to you. So believe him for it. Whatever you're believing God for, unless it's something that's just foolish, that has nothing to do with God's will. But if you can track what you're believing God for to the will of God, to the word of God, you didn't come up with that idea. God implanted that seed of faith in you. So guess who you depend upon to help you grow it and water it? The one that gave it to you. Amen. I hope this is kind of shocking our mind, Because I think that at times we think it's our faith. It's God's faith. It's God's faith. If it's the thing, whatever you're believing for, if it's a thing of God, it is God's faith. Amen? You didn't lose your faith. The challenge is if we have faith, but we're not doing anything, then ain't no power. I don't have any ability to do it. Why not? Because I ain't doing nothing. And I don't believe that God wastes anything. God does not release his faith and then say, and then I'm gonna give you all this ability to walk it out when he know that we sitting here like this. I ain't moving until they move. Moses, what do you have in your hand? Stretch it out. It's always a response. Why didn't God just open up the Red Sea without him asking Moses, what you have in your hand? And why didn't he, what God is always trying to involve us. He's always trying to get us involved. Lord, these people, it's getting dark. We need to send them away to the town so they can get something to eat. Jesus says, you feed them. He is always trying to get us involved because he is a relational God. If he just drops things, we'd just be like, oh, thank you. We would be like Amazon. If God just was like an Amazon deliverer or driver and tossed your package on the doorstep and then zoomed off and then you open up the door and you ain't even get a chance to say thank you. That's not God. You know how God is? He will ring the doorbell and wait until you answer. Listen to this. And if you're not there, he'll be like the UPS or whatever person that writes that little note and say, we miss you. And then he'll say, and if we miss you two more times or however, you need to show up to the post office or whatever it is. Amen. With your ID. I need to make sure you are who you're saying you are to receive what it is that was supposed to be delivered to you. And that's how God is. God is not a, I'm going to just drop it on your step and see you later type of thing. God is, I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to stay right here until you open up the door because God is all about relationship. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I encourage you, read Luke 7, 1 through 10, because I got to like verse 3. And then we'll pick it up at another time. But as you read ahead, I'm going to ask you to do this. Look at how the centurion postured himself. He heard from God. And then ask yourself this question, am I posturing myself to hear from God? And then when I do hear from God, am I doing anything with it? So as you read this, am I posturing myself to hear from God, right? And then when I do, what am I doing with it? And I'll close with this because today, there's a lot of people in here, or maybe even listening, that God has already given you instructions. So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, it's dead. Amen? Man. Sometimes I listen, I'm like, Holy Spirit, that was good. That's good. Because as I'm sharing it with you guys, it's like, whew, and coming right back. So as I'm preaching it, my faith is increasing. Amen. So y'all could, it could be like nobody in here, and I'm going to preach. like. Now, with y'all in here, I feel you. So it's like I can feel whatever it is you're sending towards me. So it does take it to another level. But I am benefiting from what it is that I'm sensing the Holy Spirit saying. And why am I saying that? Because for some of y'all, y'all need to preach. You might be saying, I ain't no preacher. I'm talking about preach to yourself. Some of y'all need to open up your mouth and preach the word of God to yourself. Can I challenge you to do that? And I know you might be like, but people might hear me and they're going to think I'm crazy. Find a space where you're okay doing it. But some of y'all, you need to preach the word of God to yourself. You need to hear yourself speaking the word of God to yourself. You need to hear yourself saying, you know what, self, right? Will, you know what? Faith without works is dead, man. So, Will, you need to start doing something according to James chapter 2, verse 17 says, faith without works is dead. So what are you doing? Some of y'all need to preach to yourself just like that. Amen. You need to get up in your own face and talk to yourself. Because there's some other voices that you're hearing, and you need to combat that with the word of God. Some of y'all, there's a tape running, and it's running, and whatever it is, whatever it's saying to you, the only thing that is going to capture that and bring it subject and obedience to the anointing, to Christ, is the word of God. That is it. And so if there's something that's running in your head, whatever it is that's running in your head, whatever it is that's talking to you, and you know that it's not in line with God's will for your life, you need to open up your mouth and say something from the word to capture that thought. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God, which is the word of God. Bring it captive. Please don't let thoughts just roam around in your head that you know that's not right. Amen? I know I'm talking to at least half this room. That you just got just the stuff, whatever it is, like right now, whatever it is. And if you got to build yourself up in the word of God. You got to build yourself up in prayer. You've got to. If not, you are going to be worn out. You're going to be worn out. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Worn out. And this is not, I'm not talking memorization. This is not, next time we talk, everybody in here need to know James 2:17 by heart. It's not that. You got to know it. And it got to be real to you. Amen? And you can say, whatever thing y'all use, you can say, give me scriptures that speak against. And that thing will give you a list and pray it, y'all. Pray the word. Pray the word. Pray the word of God. Amen? Praise Jesus.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.